Everybody in here has been given promises of God. Every one of you guys. There's not one of you that lacks a promise. Now, let me say this. Some promises are specific and some promises are less specific. Some promises are more general. You've got the personal promise God has given you that you hold on to, and you've got the promises that everyone has available to them in the scriptures. But some of you this morning, you know what? Because the wait has been so long, you begin to doubt. You've waited. God's given you the promise. You know the promise is there. You believe God. You trust in Him. You're godly. You're walking with the Lord. You don't doubt Him, or at least you didn't. Until time went by and by and by. And guys, as time went by, something's happened over the years. Suddenly your heart has grown a little bit hard. And now instead of believing the promises that God has given you, you're thinking, you know what? It'll never happen. Now it happens for other people, but for me it'll never happen. And you've almost resigned yourself to say this, you know what? I'll just wait till I get to the kingdom. You know what I mean? It's like, it'll be okay there. The kingdom, if it doesn't happen here. And let me say this, guys. If God does nothing else in our life, has He done enough? Yes, by dying for us on the cross, guys, forgiving us of our sins. Remember what the Jews used to say? They used to say when they would quote all the things that God did, they would say, Dayenu, God, you brought us out of Egypt. Dayenu, God, you brought us through the wilderness. Dayenu, God, you brought us in the promised land. Dayenu, Dayenu means that would have been enough. And as they keep going down the list, they keep saying Dayenu. But guys, we can go beyond Dayenu and say, yeah, that was enough. But still, Lord, you've given us promises, great and precious promises. And God, you're going to complete those promises if we will simply just trust in you and keep our eyes on you. And guys, I think this morning, more than anything, what God wants to instill in some of your hearts this morning is this. Listen, you've written the promise off. It's not going to happen. Good try. It's not going to happen. Guys, I want you to know it is going to happen. When God makes a promise, God keeps His promises. You see, there's a big difference between having faith that God might do something or praying for a miracle or asking God to heal us when He hasn't promised us that He would. But guys, I'm saying take those things now, put them in one compartment, now move over here to the other compartment. These are promises by the Lord. They are given by God. They will come to pass. And we're going to see today that as God gives Zacharias His promise, although Zacharias doubts, God's faithful to bring it to pass. And God gives Mary her promise. Mary doesn't doubt. God still brings it to pass. And guys, God's given you promises. And although you may doubt, He's still going to bring it to pass. Think of Abraham and Sarah. He gave them a promise. He said, here's what I'm going to do. But then what did he do? He's like, okay, look, when I get promises, I'm like, great, this is a promise. Like, let's do it now. I don't know if you're there, but that's where I am. I want it now. I want it today. But guys, God says sometimes, no, I give a promise, and sometimes you've got to wait for that promise. Abraham waited for years and years. And you know, it doesn't really say that Abraham lacked faith at times, but it doesn't ever say that Abraham really doubted God's promise. He just didn't know when it would take place and didn't know for sure that it would. But remember Sarah. Sarah, see, it's easy. Now, if you're the one that hears the promise, it's easy for you to stand on it and say, God's going to do it. But when you're married to the one that heard the promise, but you didn't hear it, it's a lot harder to say, I believe you're going to do it. You know, I'll tell Tracy, God told me something. Well, I wish He'd tell me, you know, type thing. That's the idea. And so now she's got to go, well, I sure hope you're hearing from the Lord, you know, right? And guys, that's what happened with Sarah. She got impatient. Look, I know God told you He's going to give you a child. I know this is all going to happen, whatever. But you know what? Let's just help God out a little bit here. And guys, where Abraham messed up is he gave in to Sarah and he said, all right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to help God out. Now look at the Middle East. Watch your news tonight and find out what Sarah and Abraham's decision did in Israel, because that's what's going on right now. Because of that decision, we have the battle we have going on right now today in Israel. Think that not waiting on God brings big consequences? Guys, we need to wait on the Lord. But I want to tell you something. Weight training is not easy. It hurts. It's painful. But the results are worth it. And guys, I'm telling you, that's what we're going to see today. Here's the good thing about waiting. If you have the mindset, I'm going to wait on the Lord and God's going to do it, your heart stays in the right place. When God brings it to pass, what happens? Now things are great. But guys, here's what happens to some of us, okay? You've been waiting for many years. You're here today and you're saying, okay, right, this guy's talking about waiting on promise. Hadn't happened. It's not going to change it today. See, something's happened to your heart. Your heart started to callous over a little bit. As you've gotten careless, it got callous. And so now you're starting to kind of sit back and say, you know what? I know God promised it, but it's not going to happen. Guys, everything happens in God's perfect timing the way He wants. You know, it's been said that a man is not a hero because he's braver than anyone else, but because he's braver for 10 minutes longer. And guys, sometimes I think we give up our bravery in the Lord of saying, God, you're going to do it. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I think. I throw it all out the window. I have nothing to do with it. Because guys, does God's kingdom promises have anything to do with your feelings? Nothing at all. God's kingdom promises have to do with God's kingdom promises. Now again, things that are specifically gotten from the Lord are the things we can count on. You know, It's like it says in 2 Peter 1:4, and we mentioned this. He said, Peter said, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. God says, all these promises are yours. Believe in them and receive them. Guys, now we take up the story with remember this man, Zacharias. Here's the setting for those of you that weren't here last week. Guys, remember, Zacharias and Elizabeth had been barren. Now, we can talk about barren as a child, but we can also talk about barren maybe in the things that we want from God that we never receive. And guys, they had been barren for years and years and years, and nothing had happened. And you know what's funny? There's this thing where we keep this prayer going because we're hoping something will happen, but inside of us, we don't really believe it, do we? And we're going to find out that Zacharias was still praying, because remember when Zacharias goes in, here's the setting. He was picked once in a lifetime thing to go into the holy place to offer incense before the Lord. Now, to get a mind of the holy place, picture the temple. And what you would have is you'd have the court outside where everybody was. And then you had your first compartment you walked in. This was called the holy place. And the priests alone could go in the holy place. That's where the showbread was. That's where the menorah was. That's where the altar of incense that we're looking at today was. And it was setting right in front of a veil, a curtain, right on the outside, this gold altar of incense. Behind that curtain was, guess what? The Ark of the Covenant. This was the place where God, before Jesus Christ came and now lives in our heart, chose to meet with man. It's where God chose for the nation of Israel's leader, the high priest, to go in once a year and make atonement, to offer blood on it. And an incense offering to the Lord that the sins of the nation might be forgiven. However, right outside of that, guys, was the altar of incense. And this was the second most holy place as far as the priests were concerned. This is the place that if you got to go up and put the incense in, you were in essence offering the prayers of the nation up to God. You were the one, all eyes were on you. And so when he got chosen, remember they did the lot. He got chosen. He's an old man we saw last week. He's never been chosen. How do we know that? Because you can only do it once in a lifetime. It was such a special event. There were 20-some thousand priests in this day, and because of that, they only allowed you, if you ever got chosen, you could never do it again. Zacharias probably gave up. I'll never be chosen. God's going to use everybody else, but not me. And all of a sudden, God says, no, I'm choosing you. And remember, the lot fell to Zacharias. Now, this was that exciting moment. His heart began to beat. He said, I'm the one. I'm going to go in. I'm going to offer the incense for the nation. I represent the nation to God. Exciting. And remember what would happen? Three priests would get together. One would go to the altar, which was outside of the holy place. It's where they burn the sacrifices. He would take the tongs, take out a hot coal, put it in a container. The other priest that would be beside Zacharias or whoever was chosen would carry the crushed up incense, and they would all three walk into the holy place together. As they got up to the altar of incense, they would set their implements down. The guy would put his coal. One of the priests would put his coal right there on top of the altar. The other one would just simply set his incense down. Those two would leave. And now it was Zacharias and God all alone. Now guys, get the scene here. Right now you can pray in your heart and Jesus is with you if you know him. But guys, back then, did the Holy Spirit live inside of anyone? He didn't, did he? He was with us, but he wasn't in us. And guys, this was a special place. This was really like today when you come to church, listen, you're coming to a building. You are the church. Back then when you went to the temple, you were going to church. And you would walk in there and you would meet with God at that place. Because yes, God spoke at your home. Certainly he would. But God's presence, he said, I will be in a special power and presence right here in this place. And that's where I'll meet with you. He knew that. There he stood. You remember the scene. He would take the incense. He would sprinkle the incense now over this hot coal that was in the incense altar. And guys, this smell would fill the room, this glorious smell. And the smoke would go up, and it was showing in type as he prayed this prayer for the nation of Israel. And by the way, it was a rote prayer. It was a predicted prayer, a pre-written prayer. He would pray for the nation as the smoke went up, and he knew that God was right on the other side listening as he prayed for the nation. But guys, here's what else we know about Zacharias. We know that although he was offering up the prayer for the nation, he was throwing one up for Lizzie. Because the angel says, hey, God's heard your prayer. See, what he did was he wasn't supposed to be praying for Elizabeth. He's supposed to be praying for the nation. But now did God get mad at him? No. He's like, you know, Lord, you know, it's like this is once in a lifetime. And here's what's amazing to me. We see he threw one up and said, Lord, you know, give her a baby. But the thing is, we're going to see he didn't believe it. And guys, how often do we throw up prayers believing God can do it? But somewhere inside, you know what we think? I don't really believe it. Amazing. Let's get a running go on the scene. Now you're there. You see Zacharias. He's coming. He's giving the incense. Listen, starting in verse 11, listen what it says. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. He was freaking out. Modern day translation. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Remember, wait, I'm supposed to be praying for the nation. What prayer? Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son and you'll call his name John. Oh, you knew I pray that? Yes, of course God knows you pray everything. It's okay. I heard you. It's fine. Pray. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. No ordinary baby. Look at this great promise he's pouring out. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him, that is the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Elijah, not being Elijah, but going in Elijah's power to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Guys, get the setting. God had just made this great promise to Zacharias. I'm going to do great things in your life. I know you've waited a long time. Here I'm laying it out. I got big promises. Are you ready? This is exciting. Here's what I'm going to do. There it is. What do you think Zacharias is going to do? First of all, before we move on, don't read ahead. You're cheating. Before we move on, let's think about what kind of man he was. Guys, the Bible told us in the first part of Luke, he was righteous. He was godly. He was holy. His wife was blameless. These were solid, strong Christians. These were not like on the fence. These were not backsliders. These were not, you know, in the distant outer reaches of the church. These were deeply involved. They were right in the middle of everything. You would think his response would be this: yes, you go for it, God. Do it. You know, we're ready. Let's have this thing happen. But guys, notice what happened. Again, look at Zacharias' heart. Instead, notice what it says in verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? Now, guys, how do we know he said it that way? Because we're going to see in just a minute that the angel says, because you doubted and didn't believe the word of God, there's going to be consequences. And here's this godly man who should have been excited that God's word finally came forward in his life after all these years of waiting. And instead of saying, yes, he said, wait a minute now. How will I know this? Now, guys, this was like an angel. This wasn't like Uncle Joe. You know, I think I feel something from the Lord for you, man. What is it? I think you're going to have a baby. Ah. This is like, Zacharias, here's what we're going to do. Like, you got any proof? It's like, what do you want, Zacharias? Look what he says. Listen. He says, for I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I'm Gabriel, for crying out loud. That's a modern translation. Stands in the presence of God. He's like, this is not Uncle Joe. I just came down from God. Here I stand. I've given you. And you're saying, how's this going to happen? But guys, notice why he doubted. Notice why he doubted, guys. And here's where our heart can link up with him. Why did he doubt? Because he's limiting God by the earthly natural realm. He said, I'm too old. Elizabeth's too old. God didn't care. What's that to God? And who created time? Who created you? God said it. Believe it. But guys, here's where we stumble now at the promises of God. Here's where we stumble. Here's what we don't receive. Here's where we refuse to believe. And that's where we say, God, you know what? You couldn't do it. You just can't, because it is impossible. Guys, we're going to see in just a minute, the angel says nothing is impossible with God. How many things? Nothing. Notice this. He says, I was sent to speak to you. It's not even like Gabriel in the presence of God. I just came down to give a message to the earth. Hello, earth. No, I've come to you. And you still don't believe. Personally sent to you. And to bring you these, notice what it should have been, glad tidings. Guys, rather than rejoicing at the promises of God, he's losing his joy because of fear and doubt. Now, guys, see, here's the next thing. Look at the consequences now he faces. And we're going to talk a little bit about the consequences of doubt in God's promises. Rather than being able to rejoice and have a blast, what happens to Zacharias? He loses his glad. Rather than have the glad tidings, he loses his joy because he doesn't believe. Notice verse 14 what he said. And the angel knew he was going to do this. No, he said, you will have joy and gladness. You're not going to have it yet because you refuse to believe the promises of God. Guys, listen, how many of God's promises has God given us that we're not enjoying right now because it hasn't happened yet? God has planted a seed of promise in your heart, and you're pregnant with promise. You're pregnant. You know what's happening? The promise grows a little bit each day, but because maybe you don't feel it kick yet, you're thinking, it's not really going to happen. And then when it does start to kick, you know, well, it's going to take so long. When's it going to finally be born? Guys, God's going to give birth to the promise that he's planted in your heart, but sometimes you have to wait. And sometimes it takes a while. And I think what we need to do is guard our heart that it will be soft and it will be supple until the time that God gives birth to that. Listen, how much better to enjoy the pregnancy than to wait to the end? How many of you guys enjoyed your first pregnancy? Now, maybe some of you I know have never had a child. And maybe even the thought of this is a painful thought. And that's not my intention here, to bring painful thoughts for those of you that have not been able to have children or for whatever the case might be. But I think about as a dad, I think about the first child that we had, I didn't enjoy that pregnancy at all. Honey, I'm pregnant. That was the only happy moment I had until 9 months later. Now, don't listen. Don't blame that on her. I know you're all... Blame that on me. I'm thinking, what are they thinking here? I got to clear her. She did great. But guys, I worried like crazy. What if this happens? What if that happens? What about this? And I worried so much, I didn't enjoy the pregnancy. And when the birth came, then I was able to go, oh, this is great. Guys, how much better to be able to enjoy it? See, what's exciting is we're going to see he got to enjoy the pregnancy, but how much more he would have gotten to enjoy if he had just believed God's promise. Problem is for me, after the baby was born, a lot of us, we still don't enjoy it. Do we go on their list and make sure they're still breathing? Maybe God's bringing something to pass and you're thinking he's going to take it away from you. Guys, God didn't give birth to a promise just to take it away from you. God is faithful. So he says, look, I brought you these glad tidings. They're supposed to be, but behold, here's the result. You will be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place. Here's why. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Now, this verse is pregnant with meaning. Pardon the phrase. Listen what he says. He says, you'll be mute and unable to speak because you didn't believe. Guys, I think a lot of Christians are now mute in their faith, mute in their witness, and unable to speak for Christ the way they should because they simply don't believe the word of God and the promises he's given. When God says, listen, you step out in faith, you share your faith, you do what I've asked you to do, I'm going to give you the power to do it. We need to step out in faith. I think of Peter. You know, we give Peter a hard time, don't we? Lord says, Peter, come out on the water. Peter got on the water, and all we do is say, yeah, and he sank. But guys, what we don't realize is, now, honestly, you're in the boat. How many of you guys would have gotten out in the water? Think for a minute. I don't know that I would have done that, especially if there's a storm going on. Whether there's a storm or not, even the water would still be like, you know what? Why? Because, again, I'm thinking the natural realm. I'm limiting God to my abilities and the abilities of man and nature, not the abilities of the creator of man and nature and the one who is supernatural and over that. And guys, remember what happened when he got out there? He freaked out and he began to sing. Now, here's the good news. Even though he freaked out and began to sink, what happened? Did the Lord let him go under? No, the Lord reached out and grabbed him, guys, before he went under. Why is that important? Notice what he says here to Zacharias. He says, you're going to be mute. You're going to be unable to speak until the day that these things take place. Why? Because you didn't believe my words. But notice this. I love this. Grab this, guys, which will be fulfilled in their time. In other words, it's not because, you know what, you didn't believe the promise, therefore you can't have it now, Zach. He said, you know what? I'm going to do this because I made a promise to you. And here's going to be your consequence. It's going to happen. You can't stop it. I've given a promise. I'm going to do it. But now you can't enjoy it until it takes place. Guys, you see, if God's given you promises, here's what he's saying to you. Now, make sure it's a promise from the Lord and not a wish in your heart. There's a big difference. Just because you have a wish in your heart, Lord, I'd like to have a Jaguar. I think this is a promise from the Lord. You know, and suddenly a tiger shows up at your door. But not that kind, Lord. One more prayer. But guys, the point is, look, God says, I'm going to do it because I said I was going to do it. The thing is now you're not going to get to enjoy it because you don't believe me. Man, I think about this. Deaf and mute. What are the two ways you would celebrate the birth of a child? By the way, verse 62 tells us he also couldn't hear. He was deaf now to the Lord, deaf in his witness, deaf in hearing. But guys, check this out. What would be the most exciting way to celebrate a child? Guys, guess what? What? Elizabeth is pregnant, right? Speaking it, and then hearing them go, you're kidding. No, really, get out of here, Zacharias. A little too much wine, or what's going on here, buddy, right? No, the promise is given. And guys, now he can't even do that. Think about it. Here's this guy that's waited his whole life for this promise. Whatever your promise might be, the promises of God are different. But he's waited his whole life for it. God now plants the seed of pregnancy. See, the promise hadn't come to pass yet, but the seed of pregnancy is planted for that promise, and he doesn't get to enjoy it because he doesn't believe the Lord's word. And now he can't speak it, now he can't say it, and all these consequences come rushing in on him because he's done that. But notice he says, it will be fulfilled, and here's the key, guys, in their own time, not in Zacharias's or Elizabeth's time. Guys, the promises that you've been waiting on so long, why haven't they taken place? Why am I have to wait so long? Why aren't they happening in my time? Because God says, my time is not your time. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God knows the perfect timing. And although it may seem too late, guys, you can be sure that God's going to do it at just the right time, the way he needs to do it. Amazing. He says, you know, I'm going to do it my way and I'm going to do it in my timing. Now, it's interesting here. Zacharias, I find that he didn't believe the Lord. He lacked faith. And he spoke negatively. You know, those are two things that people today say, if you do, God can't move in your life. You say, wait a minute. If you don't have faith, God won't do it. God says, Zacharias, I don't care if you have faith or not. I'm doing it anyway. That kind of puts that whole argument to rest, doesn't it? And also people say, well, you know, whatever you speak, if you speak negatively, you know, Zacharias, you're saying you're not going to do it, Lord. It's not going to happen. Now you've ruined the promise. It's gone. Wait a minute. God says, I'm going to do it, whether you believe it or not. Whether you speak negatively or not, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring it to pass, and it's going to be in my timing. Guys, I'm glad that the words that we speak don't have power. You ever heard somebody say, I'll be a monkey's uncle? I think we'd be packed in here with monkeys, wouldn't we? But notice what happens. Now, this is amazing. Now get the picture. Before we look at verse 21. And it says, and the people waited for Zacharias, and they marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. Now, why did they marvel? Guys, the ceremony was quick. It was short. It was sweet. You walked in. You put the incense. You said the rote prayer. You walked out. And when the priest came out, he stood before the people, and he said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face upon you. The Lord shine his countenance upon you and give you peace. He gave the priestly blessing, if you will. And that's all they were waiting on. And then the service was over. But guess what? Guys, he's in there a long time. He doesn't come out. And so notice what happens. It says, and the people waited for Zacharias, and they marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, remember, he's supposed to come down and give the blessing and send everyone home. The service is over. It says, but when he came out, he could not speak to them. Now, can you imagine? He's in there a long time. He goes in speaking. He comes out unable to speak. And they're like, what's going on here? He's supposed to pronounce the blessing. He was unable to speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them, but remained speechless. He walks out, guys, and starts doing charades. Can you imagine? What? You know, sounds like, you know, I mean, I don't know what he's doing. And he can't speak to them. And they're freaking out because they know something's happened. He's obviously been affected. He's showing by his face. And he comes out to give them a message. There's nothing there. You know, I was thinking about this. Isn't that just like a pastor to make the service last too long and really have nothing to say anyway? But he comes out. He gives the blessing. Hopefully that's not the case today. Maybe you're going, yeah. It's bearing witness, brother. Bearing witness with my heart, my spirit here. I've got your word. Preach it. Amen. But he beckons to him, guys, remains speechless. He beckons. He says, there's nothing. Listen, what could he say? Guys, how sad. Here he is. Now he's ready to express his joy at the promise, and he can't express his joy at the promise. Why? Because he didn't believe the promises of God. Amazing. Amazing. Now, you know, you think about it. I mean, notice what it says here. He goes on. It says in verse 23, this gets me. So they all dispersed, and who knows whether some of their priests came forward, what happened. It says, and so it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Guys, he probably would have had a good excuse to go on home. But he stayed to finish. Again, this just shows the character, the faithfulness of Zacharias. Remember, they only had 1 week. Two times a year they got to serve the opportunity. He wasn't about to miss it. But now he wasn't able to share it. But notice what it says in 24. It says, now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months. Now, I wonder what it was like him trying to explain to Elizabeth. Now, certainly they had writing pads. They could write. But it's like he couldn't run home and tell her. You know, it's like he probably got a pad out. You know, start writing, honey, Lizzie, dear, God did a miracle. You know, going to get romantic. Going to have a baby. Can you imagine? Get out of here. No. Can you imagine? And the excitement in their home. And guys, notice this. When she became pregnant, and this amazes me, she hid herself for 5 months. Guys, if you had waited your whole life for the promise of God, and it finally was coming to pass, do you think you could remain silent for 5 months? This is amazing to me. And as I ponder this, why did she stay silent? Why did Elizabeth stay silent? You know, I don't know the reason. I'm not going to give you a reason. I got some opinion from women. What do you think? What's going on with her? What's the deal? But you know what? Listen, it's interesting to me. It says she waited 5 months. In the scripture, the number 5 is the number of grace. And I wonder if it wasn't just her quiet moment with the Lord after all these years. She's going to enjoy this. I don't know. Had Elizabeth become bitter? Maybe she had been grumbling. Maybe she had been complaining. I don't know. But now she's got this time just to worship and to praise and say, Lord, here it is. Maybe she was afraid. Maybe she was like Zacharias and thought, it's not going to happen. I don't know how long it was before she realized she was pregnant. I mean, you couldn't run down to Kroger's, you know, and look for the pink lines. You just kind of had to wait. And so I don't know, but it's interesting. She waits 5 months, and notice what she said. Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Guys, remember, when you couldn't have a child, it was a reproachful thing. People considered you cursed of God, which is not what the scripture says. As a matter of fact, some of the most blessed people of God were unable to have children. But guys, in their societal view, it was a curse of God. And she says, God, you've taken my reproach away. And now we see her beginning to rejoice, but we're not going to see the true rejoicing, at least verbally and hearing-wise, from Zacharias until the end of the 9 months. So guys, the promise given, the consequence of the promise not believed. However, there's two characters to this story. You see, the same angel came to give two messages to two people about a divine promise that was given. The first one, pastor, should have believed it, should have been excited, didn't believe it. Now he comes to this young teen, not expecting anything. But by the time the angel's done, she is certainly expecting everything. Notice what happens. Gabriel goes on another mission. Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now get this picture. God says, all right, Gabriel, go down again. We have another message to go. We have another miracle we're going to do. It's like, wow, God, that's pretty neat. You know, it's like, they were too old to have children. You gave them children. Yeah, but go down there this time. I got a greater miracle. There's not even going to be a guy involved in this. I'm just going to supernaturally put the Messiah in Mary's womb, and I'm going to bring him into the earth through that. So Gabriel, excitedly, I'm certain, carries this message down, passing over Jerusalem to this little town called Nazareth. Now, guys, you got to understand a little bit about Nazareth. Nazareth is the place when they found Nathanael. He lived next door to Nazareth in a town not far away. And they said, look, we found the Messiah. Really? Where's he from? Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a nasty place. Filled with prostitution, poverty. It was not exactly the place you would think the Messiah would be born. And yet God says, you know what? I'm not going to do things the way that you think. I'm going to do things the way that I think. And guys, oftentimes we might think, you know what? We're not really a vessel to receive God's blessing. We're not really a vessel that God can inhabit to do great works in. Listen, God doesn't look at the vessel. God looks at the potential of the vessel and the heart. And God now sees Nazareth set apart, Mary living in Nazareth. And notice what happens. He sent him to Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, first of all, says she was a virgin. You know what the word there, virgin, means? It means virgin. Now, it's amazing to me. That means not been with a man. It's amazing to me that many people today, guys, even within church circles, do not believe the word of God, even as Zacharias didn't. And they're missing so much blessing by seeing the miracle that God did by bringing his son into the world by a virgin birth. Let me just say this. Guys, it had to be a virgin birth. If anyone ever challenges you on the virgin birth, understand this. The Bible says that when Adam sinned, everybody in this room, all of our bloodline was what? Tainted with sin. It passed down from Adam, which means every baby that's born today is born a sinner. Now, I know that most grandmas don't believe that, but the reality is it's true. And so, guys, we have a problem here. God wants to send his Messiah into the world. If he sends it the normal way, what's going to happen? Jesus would have been born what? A sinner. Guys, if he had never sinned in his life, the very fact of his birth being born by the bloodline of a man from Adam, he would have been born a sinner. The virgin birth was essential. But notice it says, a virgin betrothed to a man by the name of Joseph of the house of David, and of the lineage of David. Guys, extremely important. Now, understand the way this worked back then. Here's how it worked. Not like we do it today. You're going to get married, right? Okay, you have children. You could be engaged as early as 2. 2 years old, you could get your kids engaged. Parents would get together and say, hey, your kid's cute. You know, my kid's cute. We like each other. Why don't we get them engaged? I mean, you know, I don't know. 2-year-old getting engaged, that's a funny thought, isn't it? You know, what are you going to say to each other? Hey, baby. Well, you know, what else? Right? But guys, you would keep that engagement all the way up until you would become, and here's the next phase, ready? We call it engagement, they call it betrothal. You would become betrothed, and for 1 year, you were legally married. Now, this is before the marriage was consummated. This was before the ceremony and everything. You were legally married, and during that time, if you were to split up during that time, guys, you would have to get legal divorce papers to do it. That's how serious the betrothal was. Then after the betrothal, you had the ceremony. Guys, this is where Joseph and Mary were. They were betrothed. Now, whether they had been put together by their parents at a young age or whether they had just been betrothed, we can't be for sure, but following the culture, that's what we would think. By the way, it's interesting. in some countries, they still do this. And they think, man, how in the world can you trust teenagers to make the decision of who they're going to spend the rest of their life with? They've got a point when you think about it. But then again, you go, you know, mom and dad, you better let me see who you're picking, you know, because, you know, it'd be a serious thing. But guys, again, they're in the betrothal when the angel comes. And all of a sudden she says, the angel rather, he says, you're going to be pregnant. This is going to be a time where you're going to have a baby. And this is going to create serious problems, but which God is going to take care of with Joseph. But notice, to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Guys, remember, the Messiah had to come through who? The house of David. Remember when God gave David the promise so many years ago? He said, from your line, he says, going to come the Messiah, and he's going to rule and reign. And what did David do? David sat down in astonishment. He didn't doubt. He just sat down in astonishment and said, Lord, you said you're going to do it. I believe you're going to do it. And guys, we're going to see Mary, the same bloodline runs in her heart. Because she and Joseph, both being of the line of David, Mary now receiving the promise, is not going to be like Zacharias. She's going to believe. Notice what it says. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, guys, this is an amazing statement the angel says. He says, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord's with you. Blessed are you among women. Look at verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled. Note what she was troubled at. Not his appearance. Notice what it says. She was troubled at his saying. Isn't that amazing? Guys, when Zacharias saw the angel, he was troubled at his appearance. I don't think Zacharias believed he would ever see one. I wonder if Mary wasn't the type of thought, you know, I may see an angel. God can do what he wants. So when she sees one, she doesn't freak out. You know what scares her? What he said. And consider what manner of greeting this was. Now, why would she be freaked out by the manner of greeting? Notice this. The angel said, rejoice, highly favored one. Guys, understand in that culture, women were not highly favored. Women were considered oftentimes simply property. You had no rights. You couldn't even divorce your husband. He could divorce you. But you had no rights whatsoever. And this angel comes in and says, rejoice, highly favored one. So she's like, what does this mean? What's going on? Obviously shocked, obviously scared. But guys, note this. Blessed are you among women. I don't want to make a bigger thing of this than it is, but notice it doesn't say, blessed are you above women, but blessed are you among women. As the Lord never intended us to worship Mary. But let me say this on the other side. I think that sometimes the Protestant church goes the other way, and sometimes we don't give Mary the proper honor that she's due as a highly favored one of God because we're so freaked out by those who are taking it too far and actually falling down and worshiping her. He says, no, blessed are you among women, and she was troubled at his saying, considering what manner of greeting. And notice the response of the angel. The angel says to her, don't be afraid, Mary. She's afraid, obviously. Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. Guys, this was a dream come true for every woman of that day. As a matter of fact, they were so expecting to be the one that would bring the Messiah in. Guys, there were lots of Jesuses running around. Jesus was a very common name. It means Jehovah is salvation. They wanted to be the one. They said, Lord, pick me. I want to be the one the child comes through. He says, you know what, Mary? You've been picked. You're the one that God handpicked. He's chosen you to bring the Messiah in. What a blessing. You're favored among women. He says, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Guys, that's what every Jew was waiting for then. And might I add, that's what many Jews are waiting for today. Question. Has Jesus ever taken the throne of David? Not yet. No. Had the Jews received him, had the Jews not turned him away, he would have. But guys, because they rejected him, because they turned him away, he went to the cross, which he was going to do anyway for our sins. He knew they would reject him. But guys, the throne of David has not been taken yet. Now that brings up a point. So the promise has been given to the throne of David. When is the throne of David going to take place? Guys, that's when Jesus comes back at the second coming and rules and reigns on the earth for 1,000 years. The Bible says he will take the throne of David. He will rule and reign not only over the Jews, but over everyone for 1,000 years on this earth. Jesus is the one to fulfill that. And although it has not been fulfilled yet, guys, it's going to be fulfilled, I believe, very soon. And I don't think it takes much more than watching the news to figure that one out. But it's a promise of God. And guys, here again, do we doubt the promise of God? Are there some of you doubting today? You know what? Is Jesus really going to come back? He said he's going to come back. Is he really going to? Guys, we're no different than Zacharias. God said, I'm going to come back. You can be sure that I'm going to come back. I promised I would. He will rule and reign on the throne of his father David. And by the way, if we say we don't believe that, whoa, I'm Gabriel. Remember, in the presence of God, I brought this message. Speaking the words of God. He says, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. That is the fleshly name for the Jews. That represents the 1,000-year reign. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. See, not just the earthly kingdom, but guys, the kingdom after the millennial kingdom, the eternal kingdom. He will rule and reign forever. That's the promise he gives to Mary. Now, here's this older pastor, a believing man, growing up in faith. He gets the message. What would we expect? Rejoicing, excitement, expect we get doubt. Now here's this, probably a teenager, because that's typically when they were betrothed in that day, getting the message from the Lord that she's going to bring the Messiah, a nobody in a nothing town. What do you think her response would be? Watch what she does. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Since I don't know a man. You see, it wasn't a question of doubt. It was a question of, how are you going to do this? I mean, I'm not married. I don't have a husband. The means for that to take place is not happening. Notice what the angel says. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, guys, notice this. The highest will overshadow you. Guys, that's the same word used of the cloud following the children of Israel in the wilderness. Do you find that neat? You see, even as God called them out of a nation and planted the seed, impregnated a people to be birthed as a nation later on in the land of Israel, God is now coming saying, Mary, God's cloud's going to hover over you and plant the holy seed, and the seed's going to grow, and you're going to give birth to the Messiah. Awesome promise. And no, he goes on now to encourage her. Notice what he says. He says, now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. In other words, it's not just you, Mary, that God's doing miraculous things in. And guys, I think that the Lord would have you know that today as well. You ever read the scripture and think, well, that's for them. That's not for me. God would never do this in my life. I mean, God did this for somebody else. Well, what about me? I think God wants you to know this morning that it's not just Mary that God did this in. It's not just Elizabeth. And I'm not talking about physical birth of a child. That may or may not be a promise. I'm talking about whatever promises God has given you in your heart. God says, I want to do that promise. I'm going to fulfill that promise, whether you believe or not. Enjoy it and grab onto it and hold onto it. Awesome. He will overshadow you. The cloud will follow you. He says, now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. How God takes things that are barren and gives them life. Isn't it amazing? And notice this, guys. Here's your verse for today. If you memorize one verse for today, if you remember one thing I've said, if you're an underliner, get out your pen. Note this. For with God, how much is impossible? Nothing. Guys, what are you limiting God by this morning? Right now in your mind, I want you to think, what are you limiting God by? Well, God can't do this, and here's why. Well, tell me the reason why. Is that a fleshly reason? Is that an earthly reason? Is that a natural reason? What about God? Does God have those limits? Guys, God doesn't have those limits. It's amazing. We pray for a headache. Lord, I ask you to just touch this person's headache and take their headache away. I can do that with great faith. I can pray that. Oh, you got a headache? Come here. Lord, just have mercy. Lord, just pray, touch them, Lord. You know, make their head feel better. Let's get in Jesus' name. Right? You have a great day. And I believe it. There's faith in the heart. What if somebody comes up and says, you know what? I just got diagnosed with leukemia. Could you pray for me? I'm like, oh, yeah, I can pray. But I wouldn't say this out loud. Don't expect much, you know. Guys, listen, sometimes that's been in my heart. Now, this morning, if you want to come up and pray, say, well, I'm not going to him, you know. So don't come up afterwards, and God bless you. Have a great day. No, I believe God gives the faith that you need for the moment you need the faith. I still love the story, and you guys have heard it. Pastor Chuck talks about the man that was wheeled up in a wheelchair one day, right before the pulpit. They came up there and they said, I want you to pray for our grandfather. And he's thinking, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. They want me to pray for their grandfather. It's like, I don't know if I have the faith. They said he started struggling, saying, God, I can't heal this man. I don't have the faith to pray this man will be able to walk. But he said, I'm going to do it. They've asked me to. I can't admit that. And he said, he laid his hands on the guy and began to pray. And Father, I just pray for this man. I ask you to come upon him with power. I ask God you give strength to his legs. I ask you heal him. I ask you give him the ability to walk in Jesus' name. Honestly, expecting nothing to happen. You know what happened to the guy? He got up out of his wheelchair for the first time in years and years and received strength. As they got rid of the wheelchair, now able to walk. God did a miracle, healed the man right in front of his family, right in front of him. And I think Chuck said he was just as surprised as everyone else. You did it. I mean, you really healed him. And guys, you know what's amazing? When all the laughter and the jumping up and down calmed down, they came up to him and they said, Pastor Chuck, you don't understand. We weren't asking for you to pray that he'd be able to walk again. He's got a cold. And it hit him in his heart. He said, you know what? If I had known what to pray for, I wouldn't have prayed for what God wanted to do. And if I'd known what it was, I probably would have had the faith, and I wouldn't have had the faith for what God wanted to do right now. Guys, you need to realize that right now in this room, whether I have the faith or whether you do or not, you can't limit God by faith. Let me ask you this. Lazarus got up from the dead. Whose faith was that? Lazarus certainly did not lack faith. He didn't have any. He was dead. But God made a promise and said, I'm going to raise you from the dead. And God raised him from the dead. Listen, you have a promise today that God has given you. And I want to tell you something. Whether you believe or not believe, God's going to bring it to pass. It doesn't matter whether you believe or not believe. If it's a promise God's given you, it will come to pass. Here's the difference. Are you going to enjoy it before it comes to pass? Or are you going to worry the whole time and doubt until it does? And that's exactly where Zacharias was, guys. He missed it completely. Mary now gets to enjoy this thing from the very beginning because she believed with God, nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, behold your maidservant. You know, behold the maidservant of the Lord. It means basically that's the female version of doulos. It's the lowest form of a female slave name she could use for herself in the scripture. In other words, Lord, you said it. Go for it. I don't know how you're going to do it. I know I'm a nobody. I know I don't deserve it. I just believe your word. I believe your angel. Do what you're, here I am, God, have your way with me. And guys, what an attitude we need today. We need that attitude to say, Lord, you said it. You're going to do it. I believe you're going to do it. Notice, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Same thing David said. Remember her daddy? Her great, 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 great granddaddy? He said, Lord, I can't believe you'd choose me. I can't believe you'd use me, but God, let it be according to your word. Guys, we need hearts today that say, Lord, I can't believe it. It's so hard for me, but let it be according to your word, Lord. I trust you, and I'm going to try to enjoy it until it comes to pass. And notice what happens. No rebuke from the angel. It simply says this, and the angel departed from her. He didn't have to say anything. He's probably like, whew, good. Somebody believes me. I'm Gabriel. We're probably getting to heaven. He'll go, I'm Gabriel. No, he doesn't. I'm sure he doesn't have a complex. But guys, I leave us with this today. Here's what I leave us with. Listen, God has made you pregnant with promise. And right now he's planted that seed in your heart. And you know what? If it's from the Lord, if God spoke it and you know he spoke it, I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how much you doubt. I don't care what you think or not think. God says, I will do it. But here's the thing. I'm going to do it in my own time. Your choice is enjoy it until I do, being excited and ready, or you're going to have to wait until it takes place. Why waste the time? Let's be excited and ready today. And guys, let's let God make us excited and ready for the promises he's given us to take out of here today. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you, Lord God, that you have given us promises, great and precious promises, Lord, from your kingdom, from your throne, Lord, from our heart. And God, you've given us the general promises that all of us have. Lord, that if we will trust in you, that if we'll believe in you, that if we'll seek you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that you'll fill us with your joy, that we'll not only have life, but we'll have life more abundant. And God, that's a promise you've given all of us. But God, in this room today, there are some people that have some specific promises that have been given to them. And Lord, you know what those promises are. And Lord, some of them, like Mary, they believe it. The moment you said it, Lord, they're excited. They're clicking their heels going, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. And they're excited. But God, there's another group in this room this morning. And there are a bunch of Zachariases. Oh, they're godly, Lord. They love you. They're walking with you. They're blameless before the throne. But Lord, over the years, because of the waiting process, because of the time that has gone by, Lord, in their carelessness, truly, they have become callous. And their hearts now, Lord, are having trouble believing. Lord, I ask that right now you do a work. God, right now, do a work. God, I think of the man who said, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. God, revive, renew, and resurrect those promises right now by the power of your Spirit in their hearts. First, soften their hearts, Lord. Pour out your oil on their heart. Massage it into their heart. And now let the sweetness of your wine, Lord, the joy, pour over their heart and revive and renew that promise that you said you would give them. And God, although it hasn't taken place yet, that they can walk out of here skipping and rejoicing in the Lord. Father, we bless you. We look forward to what you're going to do, Lord, in the promises you've made. And God, help us not to be like Zacharias. Let us enjoy it right now so that we can be all the more joyful when it comes to pass. Lord, we bless you and we ask it in your mighty name. Amen.